Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're on a critical mission, really. Sharpening your internal edge.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at that, well, incredibly sophisticated intelligence asset. You have your intuition.
Right.
And we're treating it like what it is.
Mm.
A primary data stream for detecting threats. This is really the core of the gray matter ops principle. Train the mind. Win the fight.
Exactly. We're moving past the idea that instinct is some, you know, fuzzy, mystical thing. It's not. It's a core tactical mechanism. And our source today is Gavin DeBecker's vital work, The Gift of Fear. We're essentially analyzing it as a functional defense manual for civilians.
And the first piece of data we pull from that, from DeBecker's research, it just demands immediate attention.
What's that?
Over 80%. 80% of violent attack survivors reported getting a profound, very specific gut feeling.
Yeah.
A sense of danger, moments, sometimes even hours, before the event.
80%. That figure alone, it confirms the system works, doesn't it? Your internal radar is reliable.
It seems so.
But here's the paradox, the thing we really need to unpack. If that warning system is so reliable, why do people still end up as victims?
That's the question.
Well, the research shows, and survivors often admit this later, they consciously overrode that feeling. They silenced their own internal alarm.
Why, though? Why would they do that?
Usually because they feared the social fallout. You know, seeming rude or paranoid or just overreacting, making a scene.
And that right there is where we need a tactical reframe.
Mm.
Fear isn't weakness. Not true fear, anyway. When it hits you as that pure instantaneous warning signal, that's a highly sophisticated, evolved, life-saving alarm. It's designed specifically to drive action.
Absolutely.
And shifting your perspective to see it that way. That's what we call operating left of bang.
Acting before it happens.
Exactly. Acting decisively on that intuitive signal before the threat fully forms.
It's just critical for you, for anyone listening, to grasp this. Instinct is tactical data, hardwired survival programming refined over, well, millennia.
So the first step.
Learn to trust that data stream implicitly.
Hmm.
Okay, let's unpack trust. Let's use a real-world example from the sources. Think about the woman entering that parking garage. Poorly hit.
Okay.
No obvious danger cues, no sounds, nobody visible right there. But she gets this sudden, absolute sensory spike. Something is profoundly wrong, like a cold shot of pure warning.
Just a feeling.
It's just a feeling, but incredibly strong. Based purely on that signal, she immediately hits reverse. Aborts her plan, backs out.
And that feeling was actionable intelligence, because later, security footage confirmed it.
Confirmed what?
There was a threat concealed nearby, waiting, right near where she was headed. She avoided the whole thing simply because she honored the signal. She didn't wait around for external proof. You know, her internal system was the proof.
But, and this is a big but, isn't it? To hear that pure signal, you've got to filter out the noise.
Yes, absolutely critical.
We have to make that vital distinction DeBecker talks about. True fear versus just anxiety. Because if you're living in that state of constant low-grade worry, your system gets overwhelmed. It might ignore the real alarm when it sounds.
That's it, exactly. True fear is immediate. It's a direct response to a danger that is present. Right here, right now, it demands action.
And anxiety.
Anxiety is different. It's worry about something potential, something in the future. It's basically predictive fantasy, useless worry that just burns up your mental energy and slows your reaction time.
So the need for clarity here is actually tactical. You have to consciously, systematically recognize and dismiss that useless worry, the anxiety.
Filter it out.
So you can clearly, sharply hear that life-saving signal of true present fear. That's operating with a red dot mindset, isn't it? Filtering noise, focusing only on the actionable threat.
Precisely. And to help with that filtering, to help you act before the threat forms, we need to decode what are called pre-incident indicators.
EPNs.
PNS.
But okay, what are those?
They're the subtle, often missed behavioral cues that attackers use. They're not just sizing you up. They're actively testing your boundaries, gauging vulnerability, trying to manipulate the situation into one they control.
Okay, give us an example. PIN number one.
PN number one is forced teaming. This is a direct strategic violation of what we call the gray line.
The gray line being that sort of invisible boundary, the comfortable distance between strangers.
Exactly. Forced teaming aims to instantly create this fake bond, usually using we language, like, wow, we're both stuck here late, guess we should watch out for each other, or maybe someone forcing help on you.
Like insisting on carrying your bags even after you said no thanks?
Yes, maybe even after you've said no twice. They keep pushing.
So it looks like helpfulness on the surface.
Right, but the intent is emotional coercion. They're manufacturing a sense of obligation in you, making you feel like you owe them something. If a stranger insists on that kind of instant, unwanted intimacy, they are pushing past your comfort zone deliberately. They're testing you, seeing if you'll hold your ground.
That brings up a really critical point, though. How do you tell the difference between, you know, forced teaming and just genuine kindness, someone actually being nice?
That's a fair question. The differentiator is their reaction to your boundary, a genuinely helpful person. If you say, thanks, but I've got it, or no, really, I'm fine, they'll stop immediately. They respect the no.
Okay.
Someone using forced teaming will often escalate. They'll insist harder, maybe act a little offended, make you feel rude for refusing their help. They are demanding a connection, not offering one. If you feel awkward or pressured because they just won't back off, that's the signal right there.
Hmm. That makes sense.
Okay.
And it leads right into the next one, doesn't it? Pin and two. Excessive charm and niceness.
The politeness trap, yes. And the statistics on this one from the source, they're pretty stark.
Y'all stark.
De Becker found that calculated over-the-top charm was used as a deliberate tactical strategy in over 90% of the violent incidents he analyzed.
90%? Wow. That's almost standard procedure then.
It basically is. Charm is incredibly effective because it makes us lower our guard. You know, our cognitive defenses drop. And it's especially powerful against people, often women, but not always, who've been socially conditioned to always be polite, to be accommodating.
Right.
So when your intuition, your internal radar, is screaming red alert, that social pressure, that ingrained need to be nice, is precisely the tool an attacker uses to keep you engaged, to keep you there.
Which is exactly why we stress the gray matter ops mantra. Awareness is armor. Your safety has to come first, always. Before social grace, before worrying about seeming rude or confrontational.
Absolutely.
If something feels wrong, you have absolute permission. Zero apologies needed to create distance. Disengage immediately.
And what happens if you do express discomfort or say no? That brings us to the third critical PA, discounting no.
Okay, discounting no. How does that work?
This is how an attacker directly tests your resistance, measures how willing you are to be controlled. They often start small, pushing back against minor refusals.
Like what?
Oh, something trivial, like, come on, let me buy you a drink after you've said no. Or, I'll just walk you to your car when you've declined. They ignore your no.
And if you give in on that small no, or worse, if you feel like you have to explain why you're saying no.
Exactly. If you justify it, you signal vulnerability. You're basically telling them your boundaries are flexible, negotiable. And believe me, they will escalate their demands from there. Rapidly.
So what's the counter, the tactical response?
It has to be immediate and firm. The tactical mantra is, no is a complete sentence.
Full stop.
Full stop. It requires zero justification, zero apologies, zero explanation. When someone ignores or pushes past a clear, firm refusal, no matter how small the issue seems, they are communicating one thing very clearly, an intent to control you.
And that intent to control.
That is your signal. Your immediate cue for complete and rapid disengagement. Get away from them.
You know, what's really striking when you lay it out like this is how it shows that true violence, the kind De Becker describes, it's rarely just random or completely out of the blue.
It really isn't.
It follows a pattern, a detectable one. The signals, these pines, that gut feeling, they're almost always there first. It's the choice people make after receiving the signal, often the choice to ignore it, that creates the opening. The vulnerability.
And learning to trust that intuitive radar, learning to spot these pines, it actually leads to calm confidence, not, you know, hypervigilance or constant suspicion.
That's so.
Because you know your internal system is always on, always scanning the background. You can relax because you trust that if there is a genuine threat, you'll get that high fidelity warning and you'll know how to decode it and act deliberately. You're not jumpy, you're prepared.
Let's just zoom out for a second and hammer that core data point home again. The source states 98% of victims had that gut feeling. 98%.
It's your survival legacy baked into your DNA.
So we're urging you, everyone listening, listen to it. Trust that instinct. Act on it. Don't hesitate.
Because ultimately, the real gift De Becker talks about isn't the fear itself. It's the clarity that true fear provides.
Clarity.
Yeah. It moves you from feeling helpless or maybe feeling pressured to just be polite to feeling empowered, deeply empowered through awareness. And that knowledge, that awareness, it's the highest form of civilian self-protection you can possess.
This has been, well, an essential deep dive, applying the gray matter ops approach to instinct, to threat detection, really focusing on that red dot mindset of proactive awareness. Thank you for joining us as we guided you through these really vital concepts. Stay sharp, stay deliberate.
And just to be clear, this deep dive was inspired by Gavin De Becker's landmark book, The Gift of Fear, and interpreted through the Gray Matter Ops Civilian Readiness Framework.
Remember, fear isn't weakness, it's data. Trust it, decode it, and act before the threat forms.
Awareness is armor. Trust your intuition as your first line of defense.